Welcome back to Check It Out, Carnegie Stout Library's Adult Services Podcast. We will have a lot of great information about upcoming programs, a preview from an upcoming interview with librarian Ben and local band Pure Service, information about Library Card Sign Up Month, and information about Band Books Week that is coming up at the end of September. To start, we wanted to give a brief update about masks in the library. As of right now, masks are required in all city-owned property, and that includes Carnegie Stout Public Library. So on your next visit, be sure to bring a mask, but we do have a limited supply at each service desk if you happen to forget yours. Again, masks are now required again at the library. We also wanted to share our upcoming programs in the Adult Services Department. The first one we have is a financial checkup, Answers from an Expert. This will be held Sunday, September 12th at 1 p.m. You can get answers to your tricky financial questions at this in-person event with financial education expert Tony Vertel of DuPaco Community Credit Union. Tony will share tips and advice on saving money, credit scores, and more. You can also submit your questions in advance to be asked anonymously. Registration for this event is encouraged but not required. Another event we have coming up is the Let's Talk Books Book Club, featuring An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. This will be held Tuesday, September 14th at 6 p.m. An emotionally complex novel about the marriage of Celestial and Roy, a middle-class black couple whose relationship is tested by the unexpected when Roy is arrested for a crime he did not commit. Copies of the book are available to check out at the first floor circulation desk. Registration is required for this event. Something else that we're excited about is Music at Your Library has returned. We will be featuring an excerpt from an interview with librarian Ben and the band Pure Service, which will be released at a later date as its own episode.
Hi, Ben Eagle, librarian and adult services at Carnegie Stout here. And I'm joined by local group Pure Service. And I'm happy to have them here today. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
So first off, so everyone knows who we're talking to, do you mind introducing yourselves?
I'm Hampton Schroat. I'm the drummer.
I'm Randy Gerdet. I am one of the guitarists and bassists.
And singer.
And singer.
And singer.
And I am Ethan Schroat, one of the guitarist, bassist, and singer.
One of them. So how'd you guys get your name, your band name?
Google random word generator.
Was that it?
Yeah,
that was
that's what happened.
It'd be great.
You know, it was like that was a real hard part too. We kept bringing names, and like we never liked any of them. And
we actually had a name that we had picked out, Fuzzy Moon, and we went by that for a little bit, and then we found out there was another band that had like a fair amount of followers and stuff that we found on YouTube that was
fortunate.
The same
called
name.
Fuzzy Moon.
So we had to change it.
No, yeah, not unfortunately. Fortunately.
Yeah,
fortunately.
Yeah. But Pure Thank Service God. Is okay.
It's
all right. It's
it
not
works.
My favorite.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any of our favorites.
Yeah,
we really like the band name. But we can't change it now, so.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it wasn't horrible, and it kind of stuck, and yeah, one of those things, we're like, okay, this will be temporary, and
well,
temporary.
We had our two buddies kind of be like, okay, that's the one.
There was support.
Okay.
There was backing.
As long as some people enjoy it.
Sure, yeah. We don't have
maybe
to.
Maybe if
yeah.
it's something that grows on you after a while,
mm-hmm.
it becomes synonymous with the band. So Too Tall to Spill that was written before the pandemic.
Yep.
Can you talk about the lyrics a bit? They almost seem like... They're really relevant now. Fear and...
Songs about climate change.
Okay. So
yeah.
It
was a few lyrics. I'm not...
Or you've never been a worrier.
Yeah, right? Never been a worrier, but lately, that's all I know. Yeah, that song was definitely... That was actually one of our first songs we ever wrote.
It was the second song we ever wrote.
Yeah, as a band. And I would say I have a pretty... I mean, being environmentally conscious is a huge thing of my life, and you know I think that translates a lot into our music as well, just because I view music as kind of that platform to show those topics only in a more consumable way that's not some guy in a suit telling you what it is, more right. of a way to understand it through the use of music and instrumentation.
You don't dance to the TV news. Right.
You don't.
You can dance to your service yelling about climate change.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that song is pretty, I think the line is, water seems like it might pour over, and you know, that's in reference to a lot of things, and you can interpret that a few different ways, I guess. You know, I guess I meant it quite literal in some senses, but you know, there's some other things that are a little more ambiguous.
Another exciting time in the library world is Banned Books Week. Banned Books Week is an annual event celebrating the freedom to read. Banned Books Week was launched in 1982 in response to a sudden surge in the number of challenges to books in schools, bookstores, and libraries. Typically held during the last week of September, it highlights the value of free and open access to information. Banned Books Week brings together the entire book community. Librarians, booksellers, publishers, journalists, teachers, and readers of all types, in shared support of the freedom to seek and to express ideas, even those some consider unorthodox or unpopular. Banned Books Week 2021 will be held September 26th through October 2nd, and the theme of this year's event is Books Unite Us, Censorship Divides Us. By focusing on efforts across the country to remove or restrict access to books, Banned Books Week draws national attention to the harms of censorship. The American Library Association Office for Intellectual Freedom compiles lists of challenged books as reported in the media and submitted by librarians and teachers across the country. I have a list here for you of the top 10 banned books for 2020, and we encourage you, go out and read them. No book should be banned. The first title is George, now titled Melissa's Story, by Alex Gino. Knowing herself to be a girl despite her outwardly male appearance, George is denied a female role in the class play before teaming up with a friend to reveal her true self. This book has been challenged, banned, and restricted for LGBTQIA content, conflicting with a religious viewpoint, and not reflecting the values of our community. Another top 10 banned book for 2020 was Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You, by Ibram X. Kendi and Jason Reynolds. This book is a history of racist and anti-racist ideas in America, from their roots in Europe until today, adapted from the National Book Award winner, Stamped, from the beginning. Banned and challenged because of the author's public statements and because of claims that the book contains selective storytelling incidents and does not encompass racism against all people. Next, we have All American Boys, again by Jason Reynolds and then Brendan Keeley. When 16-year-old Rashad is mistakenly accused of stealing, classmate Quinn witnesses his brutal beating at the hands of a police officer who happens to be the older brother of his best friend. This novel is told through Rashad and Quinn's alternating viewpoints. Banned and challenged for profanity, drug use, and alcoholism, and because it was thought to promote anti-police views, contain divisive topics, and be too much of a sensitive matter right now. Next, we have Speak by Laurie Hulse Anderson, which, as a side note, was one of my favorite books when I was a teenager. A ninth grader becomes a social pariah when she calls the police to bust a summer bash and spends the year coming to terms with the fact that she was raped during the party. A story told with acute insight, acid wit, and affecting prose. This book was banned, challenged, and restricted because it was thought to contain a political viewpoint, it was claimed to be biased against male students, and it included rape and profanity. Now we have The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie. Budding cartoonist Junior leaves his troubled school on the Spokane Indian Reservation to attend an all-white farm town school where the only other Indian is the school mascot. This book was banned and challenged for profanity, sexual references, and allegations of sexual misconduct on the part of the author. This is really interesting because it kind of gives you an idea that not all books are banned because of their content. Books can also be banned or challenged because people disagree with the author's behavior. It can be a really interesting discussion, and we highly encourage you to talk about it with your friends, family, and community members. Next is Something Happened in Our Town, A Child's Story About Racial Injustice by Marianne Solano, Marietta Collins, and Anne Hazard, illustrated by Jennifer Zavoyan. After discussing the police shooting of a local black man with their families, Emma and Josh know how to treat a new student who looks and speaks differently than his classmates. This book was challenged for divisive language and because it was thought to promote anti-police views. A classic that is still on the list to this day is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Scout Finch, daughter of the town lawyer, likes to spend her summers building tree houses, swimming, and catching lightning bugs with her big brother, Jem. But one summer, when a black man is accused of raping a white woman, Scout's carefree days come to an end. In the county courtroom, she will join her father in a desperate battle against ignorance and prejudice. Banned and challenged for racial slurs and their negative effect on students, featuring a white savior character in its perception of the black experience. Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. The tragic story of two itinerant ranch hands on the run. One is the lifelong companion to the other, a developmentally disabled man. Banned and challenged for racial slurs and racial stereotypes, as well as their negative effect on students. Another classic novel that is often on the list is The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. 11-year-old Pecola Breedlove, an African-American girl in an America whose love for blonde, blue-eyed children can devastate all others, prays for her eyes to turn blue so that she will be beautiful, people will notice her, and her world will be different. This novel was banned and challenged because it was considered sexually explicit and depicts child sexual abuse. The last book on our top 10 banned books of 2020 is The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. After witnessing her friend's death at the hands of a police officer, Star Carter's life is complicated when the police and a local drug lord try to intimidate her in an effort to learn what happened the night Khalil died. Challenged for profanity and because it was thought to promote an anti-police message. Next, we have staff members from Carnegie Stout Public Library sharing a few of their favorite banned books.
Hi, this is Angie. I'm one of the Adult Services Librarians at Carnegie Stout. My favorite banned book is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. But I really love all 7 of the Harry Potter books, and all of them have probably been challenged or outright banned at some point or another, usually having to do with the fact that they're wizards and witchcraft is involved. But I think that these books are really more about the power of friendship and standing up for what's right, and I think they have an overall positive message. A lot of people would agree, the millions and millions of people who have read the books over the years, but they'll always be my favorite.
Hi, this is Emily at the Carnegie Stout Public Library. I'm a youth outreach and programmer. And for Banned Books Week, I wanted to talk about the book Tango and Tango Makes 3. It's a children's book that really hurts my heart to hear when it's banned or challenged. because it's such a lovely story based on real events that took place in the Central Park Zoo. Two committed male penguins were given the chance to raise a baby penguin named Tango, and Tango's parents were already overcommitted and could not give her the care that she needed. And spoiler alert, they succeeded and made a beautiful family of their own. And the American Library Association lists the reasons this book was challenged as it was anti-family, homosexuality, political viewpoint, religious viewpoints, unsuited for age group. And to that I say, I think this book is pro-family. Family is defined as a group of one or more parents and their children living together as a unit. And a parent is a caregiver of the offspring of their own species. So the key points of these definitions to me are care and children. In the human and animal world, there are many different types of families, and this book does a wonderful job of celebrating them. And I think that what really upsets some people is that two male penguins can create a loving home for a child. But that doesn't change the fact that they did it. And as far as I know, penguins are not political nor religious, so I'm not sure why people are so upset about that. There are many excellent children's books that are challenged or banned from school and public libraries around the country, and I think that's a shame. A book's inclusion in a library collection does not mean that every child in that community will read that book. It just means they have the opportunity to. And frankly, in my experience, the more hoopla surrounding a book, the more enticing it is for most children. So by all means, keep challenging them and increasing their popularity. A more effective strategy would be just talking to a child about an uncomfortable subject without judgment or condemnation. Get an idea what they know, what they think, what their experiences are. Start giving them the tools and vocabulary to have a high EQ, emotional intelligence, as well as IQ. And reading a picture book together, like And Tango Makes Three, is a great place to start. Thank you.
Hi, Librarian Ben here, Adult Services. And let's see, Banned Books Week. I'll start with my favorite banned book, and there's a lot. A lot of the ones on the list are considered classics now. But I'll go with my first love, The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, which I first read in high school English. On the ALA's website, they list it being challenged or banned a lot of times from 1960 up until 2008. Maybe it'd still be being banned quietly without making the list. But it was banned for various reasons, mostly related to profanity, which a lot of the books on the list are banned for. But also things like, quote, that the story was centered around negative activity. At the time, I felt like Holden was speaking directly to me. It mirrored all my thoughts as a high schooler. He's definitely relatable to a lot of high schoolers, I think. And also not, though, too. And that's what I think is great about the book, that it kind of divides people to people either loathe Holden or they love him. And some connect to the book in different stages in their life in different ways. Sometimes people love it when they first read it and then hate it later in life, or they hate it when they first read it and love it later in life, or they just feel differently and connect to different aspects of it later on. And which is probably part of the reason why it's become a classic too. Holden Caulfield, the main character, is hypercritical of everyone around him, filled with angst, and labels all the adults phonies. So I thought it was great when I first read it. And it was introduced by my high school English teacher. Shout out to Mr. Kilgore.
But books are supposed to open you up to a variety of opinions. It's important for critical thinking to read, including books that you wholeheartedly disagree with, all aspects. Banning books limits that freedom of speech and restricts readers' intellectual freedom. Although it saddens me that many people are still banning books, people should have open access to knowledge. I love Banned Books Week because ALA helps to continually bring it to librarians and the public's attention. So if there's one ray of light that comes from all the challenges, it's that controversy makes the books even more alluring. So when there's enough upheaval over a book, it gives an even wider audience. And I love that.
Want to learn more about banned books? Check out www.bannedbooksweek.org or visit www.ala.org/advocacy/bbooks. The descriptions of our banned books are provided by our Novelist Plus database. Novelist Plus is something that you can try too if you're ever stuck looking for a good book. You can find fiction and nonfiction books by describing plots or characters. You can find series order of books, theme book list, and author and title read-alikes for all reading levels. You can check it out on our website, carnegiestout.org, under research.
Last but not least, September is Library Card Sign-Up Month, and we have a lot of promotions going on to celebrate. The first one is Library Bingo. Stop by Carnegie Stout Library to pick up a bingo card, complete any 5 activities in a row to get a bingo, and you'll be entered to win a prize. That's right, free prizes just for using the library's many, many services. I also have Barb here to tell you a little bit more about Library Card Sign-Up Month.
September is Library Card Sign-Up Month. Marley Diaz, author, executive producer, and founder of #1000BlackGirlBooks, is joining the American Library Association and libraries nationwide in promoting the power of a library card this September. As honorary chair, Diaz wants to remind the public that signing up for a library card provides access to technology, multimedia content, and educational programming that transforms lives and strengthens communities. A library card provides opportunity for discovery and access to a rich and diverse world. It empowers you to make change and experience new stories, said Diaz. Visit the Carnegie Stout Public Library online or in person to see what's new and take part in the celebration. Libraries across the country are participating. Do you have friends who don't have library cards? Invite them to sign up during September. Carnegie Stout offers free replacement cards for all patrons throughout the end of the month.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Check It Out, Carnegie Stout Library's Adult Services Podcast. If you have anything you would like us to talk about, or if you'd like to be included in a future episode, please contact us at yourlibrarian@dubuque.lib.ia.us or call 563-589-4225 and ask for the reference desk. A big thank you to Barb Kay for recording our segment about Library Card Sign-Up Month and to all other staff that shared their favorite banned books with us. As always, thank you to Ben Eagle for performing and recording the music for our podcast. Thanks for listening to Check It Out.